Well, I know you're probably worried about me, wondering, is Father Sean hot under all those clothes out here at camp? However, I assure you that underneath all this, I have one of those new fancy centennial uniforms that's made of the wicking new Suprex nylon. So fear not, underneath all this, I am wicking. So that's all great. I tried to put my iPhone in my little technology pocket, you know, on my sleeve, which I guess what that's for, but apparently iPhone is too big for the technology pocket, so I'll put it on the altar there. You know, I cannot imagine a better place to be this morning to celebrate Mass. When I first came here, how many are here for the first time? How many for the first time find themselves in the Chapel of the 12 Apostles here? That's awesome. I tell you that because 21 years ago, I sat in this chapel for the first time. Now, it was not this big. It was more like this kind of center section, but I was here for the first time, and the first thing I noticed, and maybe you see it too, is when you look around, there are a lot of us, and I thought, this is cool. Look at all these Catholic scouts, and you all look so nice this morning in your uniforms, and it kind of helped me see that, wow, there are lots of us. Scouts and the church go together. In fact, they're my two favorite things. So to be able to celebrate Mass out of Scout Camp, that's just about as good as it gets for me. So I'm delighted to be with you today. And you know, I think it's great that we all dressed up for Mass. That's kind of neat. We all look like this is important. We take off all the dust and put on what should be at least clean Class A uniforms. And that makes it kind of special because we all look like we're here for a common purpose. That's part of getting involved, to being excited, being committed. You know, I always like to look at the world of sports for some analogies. I love sports. Anybody play sports? Oh, wow. Okay, we got lots of people play sports. I thought I played just about every sport imaginable growing up, and now I see all the sports you guys play, and it's amazing. But I think there are some things we can learn from the world of sports, particularly what it means to participate. Now, if you think about it, I've learned that I don't use college teams as examples because I'll offend half the people no matter what. So we'll leave college out of it, but we'll use the Chiefs as an example here. Now, if you think about a typical Chiefs game, well, it's not just a game, is it? It begins long before the game begins. Probably throughout the week, everybody knows who the Chiefs are going to play. You're probably looking, a lot of you, the serious fans, are in the paper, looking at the stats, seeing who the matchups are going to be, trying to figure out who to watch, because if you don't know what you're doing, you'll just go to the game and you'll be like my mom. Hey, there are a lot of little guys running around down there. What are they doing? Okay, if you don't know football is just boring. You know, my dad, my grandpa, and I, we like to watch the game. We're like, oh, did you see that? My mom's like, see what? I didn't get it. I'm like, it's okay, mom, don't worry. You gotta know a little bit what's going on. But think what you do to get ready for a Chiefs game now. If you're like the people I know, first of all, you probably get there at like 6 a.m. in the morning, or whenever they open the gates at Arrowhead Stadium, because you've got to be the first one in the parking lot because you are a super fan. And you will be there, and at 6 a.m., you will be getting your grill going because you are probably going to spend the next 6 hours smoking a brisket or something crazy like that in the parking lot of Arrowhead Stadium. You will have eaten at least 40 hot dogs and bratwurst by the time the game begins because you are super fan, and you are there to tailgate, and that is part of the atmosphere. I love it. This last winter, I got to go to a Chiefs game at Arrowhead for the first time in a long time. Lamar Hunt Jr. became Catholic, and he wanted to thank all the priests, so he invited some priests to his suite at Arrowhead Stadium. That was sweet, let me tell you. I didn't have to sit out in the freezing cold and tailgate. I had a nice little buffet. But most people, as I looked out over the parking lot, it was awesome because there's smoke going everywhere and people are out cooking. I'm like, it is below zero. And people are out there roasting a hot dog over a little hibachi grill that is neatly attached to their trailer hitch. I mean, that is cool. But, I mean, that did seem crazy to me too. But that's part of the deal. You got to get there early. You got to tailgate because it's fun. Kind of. I don't know. Below zero in a parking lot, whatever. But they are having fun, I guarantee you that. And then you get into the stadium, and what are you doing? Well, I got to witness this firsthand. You talk about ritual. I mean, oh my goodness. First of all, everybody knows the tomahawk chop. Oh my goodness. When people are doing that at Arrowhead Stadium, that is the most awesome kind of chant you'll ever hear. 80,000 people all yelling. And you got your little arm thing going, and everybody's doing it. I mean, imagine if you were the guy at Arrowhead Stadium that wanted to just kind of sit there. Like, I don't do that stuff. This looks stupid. I'm just going to sit. You would look stupid because everybody else is going, yeah. They got their arm going. You know, think about the way you dress to go to Arrowhead Stadium. Everybody's got the red on. There's the face paint. I saw a guy whose entire head was shaved and painted red with like some gold streak down it. It was incredible. And then there's that guy you see with the arrows that are all like shot through him. I mean, that takes some preparation. And that guy does not look funny. He's a fan. People like, they see him on TV, and everybody at home watching is like, I'd like to be that guy. He's cool. I think he looks kind of weird, but he's a fan. He loves it. And everybody's there, and they're singing, and they're jumping up and down, and they're screaming and yelling, and everybody knows what the Chiefs are doing, and they're watching it. Hopefully they win, and we can celebrate. But even if they win or lose, nobody's in a hurry to leave, that's for sure, because they know they're going to warm the grill back up out in the parking lot. Saw one guy that had a remote start on his grill that he had tied it into the car so he could remote start the car. It would light his barbecue so that by the time he got back to his car, he would be ready to tailgate more. And meanwhile, about 12 hours later, maybe you're leaving the stadium. And I couldn't help but think, all that for what is ultimately a football game. Now, the Chiefs, it's not a small deal. It's a big football game. But that's a football game. Those same people, my parishioners, that I didn't see on Sunday, they come to Mass late, in shorts and flip-flops during the summer, and they probably leave early, and if I can catch them before they run out the door, I'm like, what are you doing? You didn't dress up for Mass. Like, oh, that'd be stupid, Father. I don't want to dress up for Mass. I'll look dumb. You were painted red with 1,000 arrows shot in you the day before, and you think you will look dumb to put on a pair of pants to come to Mass? Imagine if we put God in the place that we put the Chiefs. I mean, the Chiefs aren't even that good. God is as good as it gets. What if he were the center of everything we did? Think if you got to Mass, and when I opened up the church at 6 a.m., you were out in the parking lot, not with your grill going, maybe, but what if the parking lot were full and everyone's out there with their Bibles? We're just tailgating, Father, don't worry. We'll be in time for Mass. We've got a little Bible study going in the parking lot. Man, that'd be pretty cool. That might be weird. But it would be a thought. What if we all got there? What if, instead of showing up to Mass late and wondering, oh my goodness, well, at least I got here, what if we spent at least as much time studying for Mass as we did the box scores and the play-by-play of the week before the football game? What if we looked through the scripture readings before Mass and said, well, what are we going to read today? Maybe it wouldn't seem so boring if I knew what was coming, and maybe I researched a little bit before. We could do it for a football game. Why not for Mass? And for heaven's sake, people that sit at Mass, I see them because you see things from the sanctuary you don't see out there. I've got a family in one row, all through Mass. Everyone around them is going, glory to God in the... They're like, no, I'm not moving. Not doing it, not opening my mouth, I will stand here like this because if I sing, I will look stupid. Well, you look stupid standing there with your arms crossed where everybody else is trying to sing. You look dumb as you would in the Chiefs game, if everybody else is doing the tomahawk chant, and you're just sitting there, I'm not going to sing. No, chanting is dumb. Nobody thinks that's dumb, but to sing, you know, Lord have mercy. How many of you thought that's dumb? I'm not doing that stuff. No way. I'd look stupid. Thing is, we kind of put sports where God is supposed to be. Because God made us, and he knows we need that opportunity to dress up, to jump up and down and scream and yell and get excited. Problem is, we need to be excited for God. We've kind of put the Chiefs and sports in God's place in some cases. In fact, sadly, a lot of times, I'm a high school chaplain, when I work with young people, and they come to confession, they're like, Father, I missed Mass on Sunday. Well, why did you miss Mass? I had a volleyball tournament. I had a basketball tournament. I went to a game. How often do we kind of put God aside, almost, to give to sports what we should be giving to God. You guys are in such an awesome time in your life, you young people. You've got so many things you could be doing, and you've got so many talents. You know, we began this session on the 4th of July, a day we celebrate our freedom. You are free to do so many things in America, and it's awesome. And we recognize that, first of all, that's a gift. Many men and women have fought and died over the years so that we could be free to have those choices. So first of all, we need to be thankful that we got those choices. But I would challenge you today that the goal in life is, first of all, not to try to remain on the sidelines, to not commit to anything by not doing anything, to say, well, I want to remain free. I don't want to get myself too invested in anything. But the other problem would be a little bit what we see in the gospel today, that sower with the seeds. I can't help but notice that when he goes out and sows, he's just throwing seed everywhere. I mean, some lands on rocks, some lands in dirt that's no good, it's on a trail, some lands in thorn bushes, some of it lands in good soil. But think about just throwing seed everywhere. That's more typical, I would say, what I see amongst a lot of you. You are involved in so many things. I got people that are playing three sports at one time, and they've got practice after game after practice, and they don't have any time for anything else, especially scouts. It used to be, and in my day, you had never missed a camp out because you let your whole patrol down. Now, in my scout troop, it's hard to get a patrol to go camping sometimes because, well, I got sports. I got to play this, and I got to play that, and I want to be involved in scouts, but I want to be involved in this, and I want to be involved in that, and it's great that we have that kind of freedom. But let me challenge you today that our true freedom will never be found in trying to do as much as we possibly can or trying to remain uncommitted. I would tell you today that true freedom you will find only when you make that commitment, when you become super fan, when you are ready to commit to something completely. And I would suggest that maybe the Chiefs and Super Chiefs fan is not the greatest thing you can commit to. We think of freedom as keeping all our options open. If I give myself completely to scouts, well, I might have to say no to that, you know, third sport I want to play. And we don't want to do that, so instead we kind of do everything half-heartedly, and we are like that seed scattered all over. I challenge you today to find that thing, the one thing, maybe two, that you are willing to commit to say, this is worthy of my time. I'm not just going to do as much as I can to remain distracted or for fear that I would miss out on something. What is that thing that you can say, there it is, I found it, I'm going to commit to this? Because see, that's like that seed in the good soil. It takes time to put down roots, to say, here I will stop, here with my freedom I choose this. It is then that you will find the greatest happiness in life. You look around, young people, at your leaders that are here. I can guarantee you, it is long since to be fun to come out and sweat in the dust and the heat of Osceola, Missouri. There's just something that's not so fun about being out and sleeping, not in your bed, with a bunch of little kids who, frankly, you know who you are. You love to yell and wake up your leaders at night and make things terrible for your leaders. And yet they come. Every year, that same scoutmaster who you terrorized the year before brings you out to camp. Why does he do that? I would suggest that he has found a great joy in commitment. The greatest joy comes from commitment. You know, we all heard on call night the speech of the SACOM or whoever gave it at your camp. You don't hear your name called. What was the advice? Come back. Keep coming back. And do what? Sink your roots deep. That rich soil of the gospel, fertile. You've got to stop long enough to put down some roots somewhere and say, here I will make my commitment. And I would suggest to you that Osceola is a great place. It's something worthy of that kind of commitment. I would tell you that scouting, it's worthy of the kind of commitment to say, you know what, I'm not going to play that sport. I may not play any other sport because I'm going to commit to scouting. It's worth it. Because as I look out here today, I can just about guarantee you that the next Michael Jordan is not here. I mean, everybody thinks they're Michael Jordan when they start. And you might spend all your time playing basketball. And then you get out of high school and your basketball career is over. Let me tell you, I did that. I loved basketball. But when high school was over, I was not playing basketball for the Jayhawks, let me tell you. Or the Tigers.
There you go.
Wildcats. Fucking heavens, but I did it. Okay. Michael Jordan is not here. None of you will probably go on to play basketball with your life. It might be fun now, but it is not worthy of your life commitment. Probably. Not many of you here will go on to play professional football. Probably none of you will play for the Chiefs. It's not worthy of your life's commitment then to say, I'm not going to be involved in these other things so I can focus on sports. But I will tell you that I can just about guarantee that sitting in this chapel this morning are the next great scoutmasters. Guarantee it. Many of you are called to be the next great scoutmasters. In 21 years from the day that you first set foot here, just like with me, you'll be back. Because this, the scouting program, Osceola, Atrial Portal Scout Reservation, that is something that is worthy. The tribe of Miccosay, oh yeah. That's why you see the people with all the beads. That's why our deacon is also a chieftain. It's worthy of a lifetime commitment. It's worthy. It's here I will put my roots. So I do encourage you, sink your roots deep into all this. Most especially know that the one thing, ultimately, beyond scouting, beyond anything that is worthy of the gift of your life is God. Not the Chiefs, not any sport, not even scouting as great as it is. Only God, ultimately, is worthy of that entire gift of your life. You may call to give that gift through marriage, through the priesthood. I can tell you, people look at priests and they think, oh my goodness, he's got nothing. He doesn't own anything. He doesn't have a family. He doesn't have kids and a wife. I'm a high school chaplain. I'm a scout chaplain. I got so many kids, I don't know what to do with all of them, let me tell you. And I love it. I have never been more happy in my whole life when society would say, boy, he's really limited himself. Not at all. I've committed myself, and I found that pearl of great price that Jesus talks about. Let me tell you, the priesthood is worthy of that kind of commitment. Because I would also say, just as I know the next great scoutmasters are out here today, I would say in a group this size, at least one of you, probably more, but one of you, I think, that is here maybe for your first time, will be one day standing behind this altar here in the Chapel of the 12 Apostles. I never would have thought that was possible. I just thought it was cool to be here with all these Catholic scouts. But one day, God said, I've got something that's worthy of your commitment. I have never been more free in my life than to be a priest. And I love the fact that I can be a scouting priest. It is a great joy to be with you here on this beautiful reservation, to share this time with you. I encourage you to think deeply about where you will make your commitment. Don't let your seed just be spilled all over the place and wither on a path. Find where you will seek your roots deep. Talk to those long-beaded people out there that have been here coming back year after year. They'll tell you, this is worthy of the commitment. God, ultimately, is worthy of our commitment. And today, He gives Himself completely to us in the Eucharist. We pray that we can give ourselves completely to God to sink our roots deep in our faith.